Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat is daf Kufot, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim. We're holding on Kafir Mabet at the bottom last line. So we had been discussing yesterday various elements of the interrelationship of people to a nifter, which is in terms of atzlus and the hesped and things like that. Today we want to go on to mention that according to Chibur Avraham Rabbi Yochanan, there's actually, in terms of the midat adin, there's a relationship between different people in a group, whether it's a family group, a learning group. So, echad min achim shemet. Say, one of the brothers in a family dies, yidagu kol achim kula. It's a sign that the midat adin is metucha k'neged that group. Echad min chabura shemet. Tidag kol chabura kolam. There's a particular group of people. All of them should worry. Amrila, now, some say that this is in the case where meit gadol, where the oldest and leading citizen of the group, or the brothers, had died. So that's an indication that the group as a whole is affected, because the midat adin was pogea at the head, and that's always, by definition, affects all. And others say that the indication for worry is we're made katan, because there, when it comes to bad things happening, midat adin begins at the bottom, and then works its way up, so b'kol kala, matchilin mina katan. Continue the mission. Say v'chol ha-mekalkalin peturim. As a rule, we could say that any time that melacha is mekalkal, that it's potter. Now, Rabbi Abba was saying over various brightot, mishnayot, in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and what he said was, chol ha-mekalkalin peturim, except for two very important exceptions, and that is chovel and mavir. So somebody who causes a wound in a person's body, another person's body, or somebody who lights a fire, and that's just ruining things, nonetheless, is chayav. Or Marley said, Rabbi Yochanan, you can read that outside. Don't read that in my base of matters. It's ridiculous. Poke Tani Livra, get out of here and say over your brayta. Chovel umavir eino mishnah. That's not true. It's not halacha. Ve'im tamud lomar. And if somehow or other you have a basis for this, it's not the way you think. If it is a mishnah, where it would be nageyat lahalacha, that could be where there was some basic need. Now, let's say that a guy was chovel someone to draw blood because he wanted to feed the blood to his dog. Fine. This is a real Nazi, you know. So, okay, that's at least a tzorech. No, it's not the normal tzorech. A mavir would be where he needs some ash. They used to use ash to cover dirt on the floor and so on. Bathroom products. So they went, okay, we'll cover it up with ash. But at least that way, the Havara has a purpose, and the Chavala has a purpose. But where it has no purpose at all, it's Tama Kalkel, that wouldn't make any nafkamina. According to Rabbi Abo, I mean, what did Rabbi Abo think? Doesn't the Mishnah say Beferish? Kol HaMekalkalim Peturim. The way I read Kol, it means all. And what do you mean, except? And it's like Kol HaMekalkalim Peturim, except. Ah, that's because Matnitin is Rabbi Yehuda. Bright is Rabbi Shimon. Basically, this boils down to a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, if you think about it. Because all the cases that Rabbi Yochanan was offering, they're not the malacha tzricha legufa. When you say, I'm going to be chayval the person's body, because I need the dam of the chavala for my dog. But that's a malacha tzricha legufa. I mean, the thing that I'm being chayval is not being affected in any way for a toilet. According to Rabbi Yehuda, I understand that that would be like any other malacha shein tzrich legufa. That can be a malachat machshavet that I would be chayav on. So, in that case, wherever the Torah was included, the din of maver and chovel, indeed, it was only where there was some tikkun, exactly what Rabbi Yehuda was saying, correct? Then that would explain why the Mishnah says kol. All cases need to have some element of tikkun. But according to Rabbi Shimon, all the malacha shein tzrich legufa is poter aleh. The Torah obviously, I mean, the Rabbanan offered it, but the Torah obviously could not have been referring to a case, a primary malacha, in a case where you have some secondary need. You want to feed blood to a dog. That has nothing to do with chavala per se. Since I know, and we're going to see where, but since I know that the Torah considers this to be a real malacha on Shabbos, this chavala and mavi, must be, there's no way out of it, it must be that the Torah is specifying that in these two cases, that ain't Okinami, what else can you say? Must be the Makalkal is Chayv. So it boils down to a function of the Makloket of Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa. That's what it comes down to. So that would be Matnitin is Rabbi Yehuda, according to which there's always some element of tikkun, even if it's ein tzrich l'gufa, that's perfectly acceptable as the point of a malacha that turns it into a real tikkun. But the Braita, this would be going out liba to Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no choice in the matter but to say that if the Torah includes Kabbalah as an iser, then obviously the Torah is telling me that I do not need any tikkun in it, because by definition it's not tikkun. Why do I say that? Where does it say that according to Rabbi Shimon? Where does it say that definitely a Kabbalah, where it's only going to be a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa? At best, you're going to be chayev. So Rabbi Shimon, look, do we or do we not end up needing a special pasuk? Ubayom hashmini, that's the next word, yom, legabi brit milah, on Shabbos. And because of that, I'm allowed to do a brit milah on Shabbat. Otherwise, I wouldn't be. Why not? I'm in the midst of doing a brit milah with the rabbi. And then I said, doing a brit milah. What am I doing wrong? Understand? So I'm cutting. And I'm drawing blood. So since I am in need of a pasuk, obviously the mashmaut is that a normal chovel ba'alma would be chayiv, despite the fact that there's certainly nothing in the act of the Kabbalah per se that should make it, maybe of course a malacha that is a tzrich l'gufa, but according to me that for all intents and purposes is meaningless. And since the Torah asserted giving havara, doing it, the bechomo shvotecha means even in Bezdin, which means that if Bezdin has a chiyuv to give someone sreifa, so you need to boil up the lead for sreifa, you need to make a fire, it's a lo tavaru esh. So lo tavaru esh means that lighting that fire would otherwise have been something that is aser, and it's aser even where it's a mitzvah. So shvam mina mavri ba'alma would be chayav, right? If I have to tell you, then I would have thought you're going to be doichet, but if I didn't think you'd be doichet, you would certainly be going to be chayav. Why is that? All I'm doing is burning. The burning per se is a kilkel. He's saying, there's things that I need out of it. No, that's a lavashein tzrich l'gufa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a problem. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the bottom line is that in all of these situations, there is a tikkun, which may not be the primary need of what I'm doing in terms of malacha, but it's certainly a malachin tzrich l'gufa need. So let's say, you're talking about brit milah, I'm a taken, I'm ravashi mali, the taken milah, mali, the taken kli, I understand. If I would fix a barrel, whatever I'm doing to fix a barrel, to fix a broken kli, is that not considered to be a malacha? So what's the difference if you fix a penis? It's exactly the same thing. Right? This is going, it's actually, truth is, about look, as we've shown you, whether the point over here is that it's literally tikkun kli. So this is like the Medrash says, So then the Medrash says, just like a teina only has the stem. That's the only thing wrong with it. I have to remove the stem. And then you have a teina. So to a human being, you have to remove the stem, so to speak. The oil is like a stem. You just throw it away. And then you're left with a full human being. So that's a tikkun kli. Ayotaina, that's not the chavola element of it. Fine. But that's a malachin tzrich l'gufa. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's certainly a perfectly acceptable usage. The same thing is true. Ma levasho petila, ma levasho samamanim. Are we agreed that I can do things in the Mishkan for Shabbos that are, I'm going to boil it up? I say, okay, fine. It's not maybe the boiling up of the samamanim. That actually could be part of tzviya. But over here, I need to cook the lead up. If I don't have boiled lead, I can't pour it down her throat. So, but that's not the havara. Fine. But the Torah lemaisa is giving me a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa usage. Therefore, tanya is Rabbi Yochanan. There's got to be some valid tikkun that's involved in it. So when the Mishnah says kol, it means kol. If you're like Rabbi Shimon, you have no choice but to say that there are certain malachot that have no tikkun whatsoever. Okay, this is Rashi's approach to the sugya. At least the way Rishayim understand Rashi. There are other approaches, but according to this, it boils down to a machlokas whether we pass like Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Shimon, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Abohu are discussing. The shiur of malacha, and then the Mishnah goes into the shiur of all of the various malachas that are negeah, creating a beged, and each stage of those malachas is kimole rochav asita kaful. Now the sita kaful is double the distance between your forefinger and index finger, and therefore it boils down to exactly the distance. Now, when I say exactly, obviously all of these distances are distances that are taken statistically, and we come out with the median. But in terms of median distance, it works out to exactly the distance between your thumb and your finger, first finger. Not kaful. And indeed, when it came to indicating how much that was, Rabbi Yosef used to show the seat and then double it. So he would hold out his two fingers and flip them over. That's Gemalei Sinta Kafu. Whereas Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami would hold his thumb apart from his finger and say, that's Gemalei Rochav Sinta Kafu. Both of them are the same.
Why was that shiur chosen? What's the significance of the shiur?
Probably holding it this way is nogea, the way that you actually twine. You know, in other words, I'm sure it's otherwise it's not purpose. Saying, oh, yeah, people that would normally do the malacha would imagine. Not a bucky, nothing. No, but it certainly can't be. No, it's so again, specifically threats. Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's a good, very good point. If you're doing floss, working with floss in your teeth.
Size
that's
usable.
Yeah. Well, it's on the side. Yeah, the size is usable, and it's also an act that makes it usable when it's around your finger. It's the same thing. That's an interesting comparison. It's like the Halakha Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, we're moving on now to the. We move away from threads, and now we get to making the godim out of skin. So the next thing we talk about is the list of malachas and regea or, which begins, of course, with hatsad. So tzeda is the first step you need. You need to get an animal to get a skin. And what is considered to be the shear of tzad? So let's say that you get a bird captured into a closet, a cabin, in a migdal. That would be considered to be tzeda. If you're talking about a tzvi, that's a pretty big animal. So a tzvi, even in a house, you would be called chayev. But you couldn't just close the door to your yard and say that the tzvi would be caught. Whereas the chachamim say, we agree with you about a tzipor l'migdal. It's got to be in the migdal itself. But a tzvi would even be considered to be caught in a gina and a chatzer. That would be enough to be a tzeda. And the word that they used for an enclosure for wild animals is the word vivarion. In Hebrew, they pronounce it vivarion, but vivarion, vivarion, a place for life, keeping live things. So a vivarion would be an aquarium, would be the same thing as a vivarium for fish, except you could use the overall vivarium for including fish, as we'll see the Gemara does. If you're talking about specifically for fish, you would change it to aquarium. So it's a place where you keep things that are in the water. Reb Shimon Gamliel on there, it depends. You cannot say a klal about that, and we're going to get into the details of Reb Shimon Gamliel later. Lo kol ha-vivarionim shavim. They're not all the same. Because basically, tzeda is defined as the final act of catching, not an act that makes catching easier. And therefore, the klal is, if it's adayin mechusar tzeda, if you're still going to have to chase this around in order to be able to catch it, then you're part. I think more we'll go into that. If, in bringing the animal into the vivarium of the yard, you no longer have to engage in games to catch it, so then you would be chayev. Ein tzadim dagim in avivarium b'yom tov. Now, in Beitza we learned that you cannot catch fish out of an aquarium on Yom Tov. So they're considered to be, therefore, mukta, because you can't use them. If they're mukta, you can't feed them either. So you can't give them mizonot. But you would be allowed to be tzad a chaya, or an oaf from a vivarium, and therefore you can be notim if they mizonot. As the Gemara, according to this, Raminu, vivarium shall chayot v'shal afot v'shal dagim ain't tzadim ehem b'yom tov, ve notim if they mizonot. I don't get it. It says, on the other hand, that any type of vivarium is osur to take out of, whether it's chaya, oaf, or dagim. It's not only dagim. And therefore, you can't feed the animals that are held in this vivarium. So, kasha chaya chaya, kasha ofot al ofot. And I have a contradiction. The dagim match, but the ofot and the against the ofot of the chaya, against the chaya, is a standing question. So, I could answer the chaya chaya. I could say, bishlama chaya chaya lo kasha. We know there's a machlokas here in Shabbat between Rav Yehuda and our mission and Rabbanan and our mission. Is a chaya, a tzvi, legina, v'lechatzer, katsit, or bivarian, chayav or not? If the tzvi l'bivarian is chayav, according to the chachamim, so that means that it's nitzot. If it's already nitzot when it's in the bivarian, so on yantav it's the opposite. If it's nitzot, then you can take it, and if it's nitzot, you can feed it. According to Rabbi Yehuda, well, it's not considered to be nitzot, then that would mean that it remains mukta on yantav, and you can't feed it. So that part, that fits in okay. But the problem is that the ofot, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim agreed on here, that it has to be l'migdal. But here it says even a vivarian, so I don't get it. How do you answer that? Avot, avot, kasha. Now, you could try to tell me, you'll try to say that there's no contradiction about the birds, because one might be talking about an avarian, not a vivarian. So the avarian is indeed covered on top, so that the birds can't fly out. So maybe one is talking about a viver, that is mikora, so it has a roof over it, and the other is a viver she'ena mikora. But the problem is that when we talk about getting a bird into a house definitely has a roof, and nobody holds that getting a bird into a house is considered to be tzedakah. The only discussion we had is putting a deer into a house, but not a bird into a house. So a bayit, which is mikora, and nonetheless, here in our Mishnah, both Rabbi Yonah and the Rabbanan agree that a tzipor is only considered to be nitzot if you get it into a cabinet, the migdal in, but into a house, absolutely not. So that cannot be the solution. Says Rabbi Bar Avuna, no, indeed, it's a perfectly good solution, because it depends what type of bird we're talking about. Hocha b'tzipor dror askin. In our Mishnah, we are talking about a wild bird. A wild bird does not get in the least bit nitzod just because it's in a house. It doesn't give up. And therefore, since it's not mekabelet marut, something that is free does not accept anybody on top of it. And because of that, and actually that's what Rabbi Yisrael says, is the basis of the name dror. Why is a tzipor, a wild bird, called a tzipor dror? Because the word dror means you live wherever you want, however I want. Don't tell me how to live. Which is the modern response. Don't tell me how to live. And that's exactly Eina Mekabel Marut. If you're talking about liberty, the American style of liberty, the Liberty Bell, the drawer, which is what they put on the Liberty Bell, the Kratem drawer, Labarat Zocho Yoshveha. So that means don't tell me how to live. That's basically what it's about. And the Tzipor drawer lives in a house exactly the same way it lives out in the field. It's not in the least bit intimidated by being in the house. You don't like it? I'm living on the roof beam. Come and get me. So therefore, since it's dara b'bayit kibas sadeh, so it's not nitzot at all. You're going to have a heck of a time trying to get this bird in the house, maybe even worse than getting it outside. So hashtaz atitah l'ahachi. As a matter of fact, now that you're ready to talk about different circumstances, I mean, we don't have to make the chaya a machlokas rabbeinu and the rabbanon either. We could say it's talking about different circumstances. If you're ready to change the circumstances, we could say that ava biver gadol, ava biver katan. As far as the steer in Beitz is concerned, it's not a steer. If you have a large vivarium, as we already said, lo kal vivarium shavim. So if you have a large vivarium, so then einachinami is not considered to be nitzod, and therefore you can't take the animal out on yontif, and therefore you can't feed it. If it's a small vivarium, then it was nitzod before, then you can take it out, and then you can't feed it on yontif. So there's no problem. But how do you define those terms, by the way? I mean, you can't just say big and small. I mean, what defines a biver gadol and what defines a biver katan? Wherever you could chase this animal with one run and grab it, that is considered to be leave it to biver. And it's a biver katan because it's all basically already done. But anything else, if you have to keep chasing it, then it's idach biver gadol. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's still uncaught. And that would remain also on Yom Tov to go and catch or to feed because it would be booked. So another rule would be, inami, kol eichad nafal tulo diktalim ha'adadi biver katan v'idach biver gadol. There's also a rule of thumb when it comes to the size of vivarians. And Tosis points out that there must have been a standard size wall. Maisa Rashi in Beitza understands this to mean that in the morning, by the time you have enough of the sun up over the horizon, that you have a particular shadow that you would normally have on a standard 4-amah wall, is what he says. So then, if that shadow would fall against the opposing wall, or vice versa at night, while you still have a clear sun and hasn't fallen behind obstructions of the horizon, that is where we would measure the shadow of one wall falling on the other wall. If it touches the other wall, that's called a biver katan. That's your rule of thumb. Beyond that, it's called a biver gadol. Or it could also be another way of learning it would be kol eichad ika ukti ukti. If there's places it can run to, if it's got little corners here and there, then it doesn't matter the size. If it can run and escape into a place when I'm going to have to get into that place, ukti ukti. That by definition, where you would be able to get it, and now you've got come after it.
You've got corner.
You've got cornered, exactly, perfect. you've got it cornered, so then that's got to be v'katan. If there's no way to corner it, it can easily run out from the side. What good is the beaver? It'll still find a way to get away. It doesn't matter how small it is. So according to this lashon, anything that doesn't have a way to be cornered is a beaver gadol. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, now he doesn't seem to be arguing on anybody. All he says was, don't make the mistake of thinking a beaver. What could that mean? I mean, what, if it, something is a block wide, you're going to consider it to be nitzot. So he doesn't seem to be arguing. He just seems to be pointing out that you need to take into consideration the specific size. Om Rav Yezra, Om Rav Yonam, Shmuel, Halakak Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that's how we paskin. Says, wait a minute, that's how we paskin. You need to paskin like somebody if nobody argues on him. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? Halakha. The chal de pleite? Somebody's arguing? Said Rabbi Yezra, what the heck is your business? Does it bother you? If I'm saying it's halakha, if nobody argues, so for sure it's halakha. Double halakha. Ha! Mine after the chamina? On my instant. Are we singing popular tunes here so that we can repeat the verse as often as we want and it doesn't have to mean anything? That'll be the day that I die. Understand? Gemara Gomer Zmuratatai. This is Elvis or this is Gemara? What are you talking about? Something that doesn't make any sense. Tan Rabbana. Hatsad Tzvi Suma V'yoshev. Somebody who goes, sneaks up on a poor sleeping deer or a blind deer. He'd still be chayev because that is something that could still get away and therefore it's a real tzeda. But if this deer is lame, chiger, or it's so old it can't move, or it's ill, then you would be potter, because for all intents and purposes, it's already nitzut. I don't understand. I mean, if it's sleeping, so why isn't that called nitzud? Because, he said, look, the moment you touch it, you try touching a sleeping deer, boing, it's out of there in a flash. I mean, but if you're talking about an ill or lame deer, what's it going to do? Even when it responds, it has nothing to do with its response. But what do we do with the fact that there's a braita that says if it's ill, you'd still be chayim? On Rav Sheshi, it depends what the illness is now, doesn't it? I mean, if you're talking about a deer that is not feeling well and is trying to rest, so it's got a bad headache and it's got fever, okay? So it's chol machmet ishta. It's got a fever. The natural response of an animal under such circumstances, find a quiet corner and don't be mitamets. But if you try to catch it, man, it's off in a flash. It's in no way limited in its response. But what we were talking about, where it's considered to be nitzod, is a chol machmat uftsana. That's where it's gotten so weak, it can barely move. There in a chilomi, obviously, there's nothing it can do. And for that, it's considered to be nitzod. Tana Rabbana, hatzat chagavim, gazin, sirin, yitushin, b'shabat, chayav. So let's say you have chagavim and gazin, these are edible locusts, or wasps, or mosquitoes. There you're tzadnem. Obviously, it wouldn't be a malach to chalagufa. You don't need them. The chagim and zagim, you do need them. But in all of these cases, if you hold that a malach to chalagufa would be chayama, so then you would be chayav here too. Divrei Rabbi Meir. For chachamim omrim, no. The malacha of tzeda has nothing to do with the question of chalagufa. The malacha of tzeda is defined by its object, as opposed to other malachas. And kol shebemino nitzot chayav tzad does not mean capturing something that moves. Tzad means capturing things that are normally nitzot. So kol shebemino nitzot, if the derech is to trap these things, it's there that you have an object of tzeda. But kol sheino bemino nitzot, if it's not the derech to trap these things, and that would mean the part about the tzirin v'yutushin, nobody traps wasps because they want them. On that, you would be potter, because it's not an act of tzeda. That's the point. Not because it's mekalkel or tzeda tzrich legufa. Tanya idach, hatzat chagavim b'sha'at hatal patur. That's another bright, interesting bright. Chagavim that had tal around them, they don't move. So for all intents and purposes, they're blinded. B'sha'at hashrav, when things are desiccate, that's when they get moving. So b'shat ha'shrav, there would be an act of tzeda, because of course chagavim are things that people like to trap and eat. And when we had last year, we had that invasion in the Negev. All of the Asians were down there grabbing those locusts and popping them into their mouth. So that was the b'mino nitzot. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Avoy, no. If those Asians were gay, and of course that depends on which of the electoral platforms you believe. So, but according to Rabbi Elazar ben Avoy, thank you, Bernie. I'm just about to get after him. So Rabbi Elazar ben Avraham says, you should know that if they were mikalchotu va'ot, if they were swarming, you'd be potter. Now, there's two ways of understanding Elazar ben Ma'avoy. He could have been saying a chumrah. He could have been saying, you say that if it's b'sha'at ha'tal, that you're potter. I say if they happen to be swarming, b'sha'at ha'tal. So maybe he's going on the reisha, or he might be giving you, he might be giving you a bikula. He's saying, even when things are desiccated, if they're swarming, they're for all intents and purposes blind to where they're going. They just fly into anything. So if you put out a trap, they'll fly right into it. You're not doing a pool up safe. So maybe he's going on the seifa. Which way? Says the Gemara, will bring you a raya. He says to beferish another brayta. Tashma hatzat chagavim b'sha'at ha'tal patur b'sha'at ha'shraf chayav. Comes along Elazar ben Ma'avoy to say that no, afilu b'sha'at ha'shraf. It depends. Im ayu mekalchot va'ot patur. If they're just swarming, then for all intents and purposes, they are already nitzodim. And now for Richie's famous sleepy rendition.
Look, the chelik Mishnah.
Any slower, and we would be communicating with the grave. Svi shenichnas labayit. Suppose a deer walks into your house, and you lock the door. You go close the door after it. No lack of bifana. So then, that is the act of tzeda, since we said svi labayit to levivarya would be chayim. How about if two people lift up the piece of wood and put it into the lock to bolt the door, then it would be Shnayim Shasur, Paturin, as we saw earlier. How about if it's a very heavy bolt? Lo yachol echad l'na'ovin alu Shnayim? Then the halacha is that if they can't do it alone, they're both chayiv. But remember, as we saw earlier, that Rabbi Shimon says, you're potter in that case because, leave it to Rabbi Shimon, we had three miyutim, and one of them was to be mamayit. Anytime that Shnayim Shasa'u would be potter, even if Zeh Eino Yachol, Vzeh Eino Yachol. On Reb Yirmiya Baraba, Omar Shmuel, Hatzad Ari B'Shabbat. As far as, I mean, it's all very nice to talk about these deers, you know. But if you're talking about, yeah, it's no problem, I can just take, I'll take that lion in one jump, you know. Like Richie. That's why she calls you lion, right? Here you go. So, if you're Tzad and Ari, that's not the same thing. Because until you get that lion into its cage, buddy, that lion ain't caught. If he decides he's not going into the cage, then you're the one that was nitzot, not the lion. So, because of that, Enochayav Achech Nisenu Legurza Kishalo. And now, thank heavens, we are Zoka to the not quite original rendition, but at least to the secondary rendition. Our tertiary rendition is in trouble.
Look, the Chelik Mishnah.
Yashav ha'echad ala petach v'lo milu. Suppose a guy sits down on the door with the tzvi inside, and the tzvi could still get out. He's not that fat, this guy, you know. Second guy sits down, and between the two of them, now the doorway is covered. Now the tzvi can't get out. So then the second one is the only one who did the malach of tzed. So now the sheni is chayav. But how about if the first guy was fat enough to cover up the entire petach? Right? So, yashav ha'rishon ala petach umil uhu. Now the second guy comes down and sits down. And he also could have been mil uhu, but he didn't achieve anything because the first guy was already there. So, ba sheni v'yashav b'tzido. So now, even though, afa pishamad ha'rishon v'alachlo, even though at this point the first guy gets up and walks away, the second guy is not considered to have been doing anything, even though at that point you'd say, ah, he should have gotten up right away, because otherwise he's the one that's being mabala the petach, and he is doing tzeda. He's not. Only the rishon is chayav. The sheni is potter in this case, because halamaze dome lenoel beta et beto. You know what this is like? This is like a guy that closes the door to be shomer whatever's already in the house, not to be tzad the house. And now, nimtza tzvi, that had already been nitzod before, and he was going to be shomer it, it got loose from whatever was holding it inside. The Ron said originally was tied up. Now it got loose. So what are you going to say? Oh, so now he has to go unlock the door? He doesn't go unlock the door. At the time that he locked the door, there was no act of tzeda. There was an act of shmira. It was perfectly okay on Shabbos. It doesn't now retroactively change and force you to respond by making certain that you're not doing anything now. An ongoing tzeda is not tzeda. It's the act of tzeda that's tzeda. And therefore, The second guy in this case is not doing an act of seder when he sat down. Ah, you're saying, but in his being there, that's sadna. Once it's nitzot, it's nitzot. From that point on, it's called shmira bialma. The Omar Rabbi Chia Barav Amr Rabbi Yochanan Echad Min Achim Shemet Yidagu Kol Achim Kulan Echad Min Nechabura Shemet Yidag Kol Achabura Kula Amr La Demet Gadol Amr La Demet Katan Kol Amekalkulim Peturin Tane Rabbi Abba Kamen Rabbi Yochanan Kol Amekalkulim Peturin except for Chovelo Mavir Amr La Blah Pok Tani Levra Chovelo Mavir Eina Mishavim Tom and Lomar Mishnah. Then you don't understand the case. It was talking about a case where Chovel Bitzarach Lekalbo, Mavir Bitzarach Leefro, but Banantzan Kolam Kalkalim Peturim. What was he thinking? Ah, Masis Rabbi Yehuda, prior to Rabbi Shimon, and my time in the Rabbi Shimon. Look, if the Torah needed to be Mater Mila, what does that tell you? That Chovel Be'alma is Chayev. If the Torah answers Avora Gabi Bat Kohen, so obviously a standard Mavir is Chayev. Rabbi Yehuda, Hata metakenu ked Ravashi, Domer Ravashi, Mali le taken mila, Mali le taken kli, Mali le vashel pedila, Mali le vashel samanim. Shiur amalabain. Now, I just want to point out that obviously it's not really comparable. There you need the samanim. Here we're focusing on the havara. We're just saying that there's some element of tikkun of the Rabbina. Shiur amalabain, Rabbi Yosi machve, the seat, kaful. Rabbi Kibar Ami was machve the distance between Ama and Etzpa, Pashut. Rabbi Yudam Ratzad, Tzipor Lemigdal, Vetzvila Bayat Chayav, Vachachomim Omrim, Tzipor Lemigdal, yes, but a Tzvi could even be in a Gina, a Chotzer, and a Bivarian, would also be Chayav. Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, Lo Kol HaBivarian Shavim, Zeakal, Mechusar Tzedah Patur, Shino Mechusar Tzedah Chayav, Tzlaratam, Ein Tzadim Dagim, Mina Bivarian, Biyom Tov, Ein Notin Lithayim Mizonot, Aval Tzadim Chayav Haof, Ein Notin Lithayim Mizonot, Raminu Bivarian, Shel Chayot, Vishel Afot, Vishel Dagim, Ein Tzadim Yem Biyom Tov, Ein Notin Lithayim Mizonot, Kasha Chaya Chaya, Kasha Ofot Haofot, so Bishloma Chaya Chaya, you could say it's not a problem. One is a Libda Rabbita, one is a Libda Rabbonim, which argue right here in our mission Shabbat. But Ofot, Ofot, everybody agreed over here. That's got to be into a Migdal. V'chiyitema Ofot, Ofot, Nami Lokasha. One is talking about a covered vivarium. And one is a Viversha Enu Mikora. So then how do you explain a Bayit? A Bayit is Mikora. And nonetheless, Bein L'Rabbita, Bein L'Rabbonim in our Mishnah, a Tzipor is only Nitzot in a Migdal, but L'Bayit lo. Omer Rabba Baravuna, we're talking about a different kind of tzipor. Here we're talking about a tzipor drawer in our Mishnah. Lefisha Eino Mekabelet Marut, Tetana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Lama Nikra Shema Tzipor drawer, Bipnei Shadara Babayit Kibisadeh. Oh, okay, if you're ready to change the circumstances, then we could do that with the other kash, about Chaya. Hashtar Titalachi, why make it about Chloket? You could say we're talking about different situations by Chaya, Chaya, Namilo Kasha. Ha beviver gadol, ha beviver katan. By the way, what defines that exactly? Echidami beviver gadol, echidami beviver katan. Omer avashi kolecha doroyet patre yomote lebachat shichya. That's beviver katan. Anything beyond that is beviver gadol. Inami kolecha do nofil tulo diktolam adodi. Beviver katan vidach beviver gadol. Inami kolecha do leko ukti ukti beviver katan veidach beviver gadol. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Omalei Abaye Halacha, Bichlal de Plige. Omalei, my life to lecha mina. Omalei, Mama, Gumar, Gomer, Zmrutate. Ton Rabban, Hatzad, Tzvi, Sumavi, Hashem, Chayab. Chiger, Zakin, Vachole, Patur. Omalei, Abaye, Rabbi Yosef, Maishna, Hani, Maishna, Hani. Hani avid el ravuy, hani lo avid el ravuy. Vatanya chola chayav, omer pshish lo kasha. Ho becholah machbat ishata, va becholah machbat uftsana. Ton rabon an atzat, chagavim gazin tzirin vietushim b'shabat chayav, tiv rabbi meir. Vechachomim omrim kosh b'minu nitzot chayav, kosh emi minu nitzot patur. Tani idach atzat, chagavim b'shaat atal patur. בשעת השרב חייב אלעזר בן מהווי אומר אם היו מקלחות ובאות פטור בואו אלו אלעזר בן מהווי הרי שכה והסיפה קוי תשמע צד חגבים בשעת התל פטור בשעת השרב חייב על עזר במהור אומר אפילו בשעת השרב you can be potter if they make all code about פטור so it's obviously a big cooler צבי שנכנס לבית ונעל אחד בפניו חייב נעל לו שניים פטורים but if לא יכול אחד לנעל ונעל לו שניים נניר חייבים except the רבי שבן is potter even בזינו יכול וזינו יכול אום רבי ימרי אמר אב אמר שמול הצד הרי בשבת אינו חייב עד שיחתיסנו לגור זה כישלו ישב אחד על הפתח ולא מילו ישב השני ומילו השני חייב ישב הראשון על הפתח מילו בא השני וישב בצידו Then Afa Pisha Mada Rishonim. Now all the Tzeda is the Sheni, and he gets out of the picture of Alachlo. A Rishon Chayav Hashini Patur. Alamaze Dome. Lenoelet Beto Lishomro, where the Tzvi was already Nitzad, and it turns out that the Tzvi is Shomur Betocho, even though now he got loose.
Today's Daf is Daf Kufar. Take your cue.
The Chol HaMekalkalim Pturim is what we're up to in the third line. So the Mishnah asserts that any time when you do Kilko, or Mekalkal, which is called Mekalkal Pturim by Korea B'chamato, it asserts that all of the Melochas are Potter if you do Kilko. The problem is that Rabbi Abuhu was the same over in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnayas, the implications of Mishnayas. He said like this, Chol HaMekalkalim Pturim Chutz Mechovel U'Mavir. The Mishnah in Baba Kama over there talks about a case in which a person attacked someone on Shabbos and was chovel, or burned somebody's silo on Shabbos. So it's over there that since he's mitzayeg the nafsho on the Isser Shabbat, so therefore it's come like a bit around, he doesn't pay in those circumstances. The problem is, it's mekalkel. So when you're hurting this guy, you're basically causing kilko. When you're burning down his gadish, you're basically causing kilko. So apparently, there must be some special din that tells me that when it comes to Chavala, which was the Mishnah Baba Kama, or Mavir, which was the Mishnah Baba Kama, and a Mekalkal in those cases is Chayav, because otherwise how do we understand the Mishnah and Baba Kama? Omar Leh, said Rabbi Yochanan, told Rabbi Abu, Pok Toni Livra, you can walk out of here and say that over to the birds, because it sure ain't correct. And don't tell me phony limudim in my Beit HaMidrash. Chovel Mavir in a Mishnah. There's no such thing. The Mekalka was potter by Chovel Umavir like any other Mekalka. Ve'im, Timtzel Omar Mishnah. And if you find, in fact, a case where it seems to be clearly saying that a Chovel would be Chayev, that a Mavir would be Chayev, it could only be in a case where it's Mitzakein. For instance, the Chovel, sorry, the Kalbo, he has a vampire dog, so he wants to feed his dog some blood. Or put it on some meat and make it fresh. Or Mavir, he needs the aether. He's making some kind of chemical mixture, which requires aether, which is many of. Asks the Gemara, the Anans, and I'm calling a Kalkul Pturim. What was Rabbi Abu thinking? It comes to Rabbi Yochanan, he says, calling a Kalkul Pturim, Chutz Michovel Umavir. And our mission in Shabbos? I mean, because of the Kayach of the mission of Baba Kama, of the case of Achozo de Chavero on Shabbos, Umavir, the Gedisha Shal Chavero is contradicting the Persian Mishnah that doesn't make any distinction between any of the Melachos. It says over here, call on a Kalkul Pturim. How do you understand that? Answers the Gemara fascinating. He holds Matnitin Rabbi Yehuda. What he holds is that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, on the Pashtas, the Gemara seems to be saying that there's a separate Melacha, a separate Machlokas, a third Machlokas, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, as to whether Mekalkel is Pater or not. Which would mean that we have three fundamental differences in the approach of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda vis-a-vis Shabbat. We have, first of all, have the famous machloket about whether a davash eno mitkaven is considered to be a malacha. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's actually mutter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's aser. We have the machloket of whether a malacha she'en etzricha legufa is potter alera or chayev alera between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon always potter. And we have a third machloket in which, according to Rabbi Shimon, a mekalko b'chabura, a mekalko b'chlal is considered to be potter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's chayev. Apparently. Rashi says he's not familiar with such a machloket. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara seems to be referring to a machloket as if it's a known machloket. There ain't no such machloket. Therefore, says Rashi, this Gemara is pointing out an implication of the standing machloket of a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. How does that work? Because recognize that melacha she'ena tzricha legufa is always a definition of the relationship of the act of the melacha to the tutsa of the melacha. Correct? That's by definition what it means. So if you hold Malacha she'ina tzrifah legufa would be patur. So you're saying that even if I'm digging a hole, I'm certainly being kofer, but if I have no interest in the hole and I'm interested in taking dirt for some purpose, the malacha is defined by that requirement, and therefore it's not a malacha of Shabbos, because there was no such malacha in the Mishnah. Even though there certainly is a malacha of digging, I wasn't digging the way it's defined in the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who cares why you're digging? The point is, you wanted to dig, you're doing the malacha of digging. So the purpose of the malacha, the tozaot of the malacha, is not an inherent part of the malacha, according to him. Therefore, you would be chayav. Now, by implication, what that would mean is that we would have completely different standards of mitakenu nekalkel. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the only time that you're chayav is where the malacha is required in and of itself, and not for something that comes out of it, it would be all very nice to say that the case over here is talking about you need blood, but that's a tozaot of the chavala. That's not the Chavala itself. So the point, therefore, would be that there would be a tremendous nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in how we could define Mikalkel or Mitakel. Because if you hold a Malach Shem Shevel Gufa is Potter, the standards for defining Mitakel are much more stringent, because I have to define the Mitakel in terms of the act, per se, rather than in some good that might come out of the act. Because the good that comes out of the act is all very nice, you're right, it's a tikkun, and it's wonderful. Where did the Torah say it's us to be mitakeh? The Torah said it's us to do malacha. This tikkun is not in the act of the malacha, the way it's defined, and therefore, you're potter. So, therefore, says Rashi, I think that it's a reference to that machlokas, the standing machlokas, and therefore. According to Rabbi Yehuda, when he reads the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, and he sees that the Mishnah says over there, if somebody is chovel in his friend on Shabbos, he doesn't have to pay. It's going to be chayev anyway, misa, even though, and maybe not literally misa, but the thing is that even chayev emitot shogegin, your father doesn't mean you literally have to be killed. You did something which, under certain circumstances, with atra and so on and so forth, would theoretically be an act of chayev emitot. It's called kom leid rabbi. What would be the case, he says to himself? Isn't that a mekalkel? How does that? Well, he says, very simple. The case is that you need blood. Shouts Rabbi Shimon to him, what does that have to do with it anyway? We need blood. But why did you need the act of the Kabbalah? The fact that the Tosa has blood is like saying, I dug a hole because the Tosa is afar. Thank you very much. You're right. It was a wonderful thing that you needed afar. What is it? Torah never said you're not allowed to get afar on Shabbat. Torah said you're not allowed to do a chafira where you need a hole. You have no interest in a hole. Therefore, how is that going to help you? It's still mekalkel in terms of the Kabbalah per se. It's still mekalkel. You're going to come along and you're going to say that the case of the havarav, what do you mean? I needed to cook a cup of coffee. So I burnt the wood to make it hot. That's lovely. Where did the Torah say that you're not allowed to be mitakein for a cup of coffee? That wasn't the issue of the havarav. So Mamela, again, you're talking about a mitakein, but it's mitakein for some other purpose. The technical term for that is mitakein etzel acherim, but you're not being mitakein etzel the malacha. Therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, I have a real problem. How am I going to explain this Mishnah? The Mishnah is taken for granted that you would be potter from the Tashlumin in two cases, Havalah and Havara. Even though, as hard as I try to figure it out, I can't see how that could be a Mitakein. Must be, therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, must be, that a Mikalkel itself is also considered to be Chayim. That's the point. I have no choice but to say that. In which case I could say Matniti. Our Mishnah that says every single Mikalkel is Patur. That's true. If you hold the Rabbi Yehuda, that's true. Because he can always find a case that's Mitakein, because it's easy for him to find a case of Mitakein, because the ultimate Malacha Shein HaTzricha LeGufa would be Chayav. So even if it's Mitakein, it's Elacherim, that's the equivalent thing of needing the dirt. So you need the dirt, so you're Chayav on the hole. Whereas what Rabbi Abu was saying over, that was going on Liba, to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon must hold that there is an exclusion to the rule of Kol HaMikalkel in Paturim. And we'll see very shortly where the source for such a thing would be. In fact, he finds the source of the Torah. But it's clear that the only way, according to him, to learn the Mishnah in Bava Kamma would be to say that there must be an exclusion in the Torah which allows me to view a Mikalkel of the Chavalah or a Mikalkel of the Havarah to be the Malacha anyway. Is that clear? So in other words, the Gemara is taking for granted that because of the difference in the criteria, there would also be enough in Al Halacha between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Now, Lemaisa, we have a little bit of a problem in saying that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. Because the Mishnah, remember, talked about the Korea and the Chamato. So we had to deal with the problem of Tikkun. Even where it's Korea b'chamato, the Gemara said, how come over here Korea b'chamato, which is Mitakein li Yitzrei, is Potter? And how come over there in the Braita it was Chayev? Remember yesterday's Gemara? And we said, our Rebbe Shimon. which means that we've already decided that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shimon, and that the totza'ah of feeling good by tearing something is all very nice, but it doesn't define the malacha. It still remains in malacha shem tzichah l'guf. So how can we now turn around and say, well, the Mishnah says kol mekabelin p'turim is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the only way it worked was according to Rabbi Shimon? That's a little bit crazy. Now Rashi has that on himself. So I mean, didn't we just get finished saying, if this is the pshat, didn't we just get finished saying that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shimon, which is why it says a kureva chalato spata? I don't know, but I guess you got to say that the Rashi is Rabbi Shimon and the Sefer is Rabbi Yehuda. So the Rashi says the kureva chalato spata is going according to Rabbi Shimon. The general statement of kol mekabelin p'turim is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Pretty strange. But this is how he's forced to learn. Okay, this is Rashi's pshat. Tosfos has problems with this pshat. This is an obvious problem. But another problem with this pshat is Rabbi Yochanan threw Rabbi Avu out of Beit HaMidrash, essentially, for saying over. They call him up and says, go tell it to the birds, baby. Let me go tell it to the birds. He's telling you a pshat according to Rabbi Shimon. You don't like Rabbi Shimon, so you say, tell it to the birds. This is a kasha that the Gemara asks elsewhere. It says, what? So because you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, call out Tani Rabbi Shimon, I'm going to poke Tani Lebro. You can say, you should add, how money Rabbi Shimon? Montana Rabbi Shimoni. But I pass it like Rabbi Yehuda, but whatever you want, you sort of don't say Pope Tony Lefro. Pope Tony Lefro is where somebody's making an egregious error. You're saying over somebody's mistaken. Get out of here. Exactly what he was saying to me. Get out of here. That's exactly that point. I don't want you around here saying stuff like that. So how could the statement between Rabbi Avu and our Mishnah be the subject of enough focus, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Anyway, that doesn't seem to work. Okay, let's first continue this again. I'll leave it to Rashi. And we'll see how late our day goes here. All right. So therefore, Matzitu Rabbi Yehuda, right to Rabbi Shimon. So now, where would Rabbi Shimon get any guy? You can't say arbitrarily. You can tell us what his makor is. Where does he get the idea that Havara and Havalah is different than anything else? It's a remarkable thing that just happens to be the two examples in the Mishnah. You must admit, it's a little bit amazing. If you're looking at it as a patch, you understand, if this is a Band-Aid, you're going to get awfully suspicious. It happens to be there's a Mishnah that talks about these particular cases we're talking about on Shabbos. And it happens to be that that's problematic to Rabbi Shimon. So you pick it out of a hat. Must be that those two cases that happen to work out as examples on Shabbat where you won't have to pay, you go give me another example. Those are examples of payment. Happens to be that those two examples are unique for some weird reason. What's the marker for that weird reason? Says the Gemara. Obviously, we start with the marker. According to Rabbi Shimon, the point of the Mishnah is the expression of this special din. What is the marker for this special din? My time with Rabbi Shimon. Says Rabbi Shimon like this. Look. The Torah tells us an extra pasuk, Ubayom Hashmini, which the whole Bayom wasn't necessarily over there. And that comes to be Matir Mila on Shabbos, right? What do I need ahead to be Matir Mila on Shabbos? What's the problem? It's a Chavalah. So, what are you doing wrong? It's a Chavalah, basically, right? You're cutting skin, you're causing bleeding, so it's like any other Chavalah. But then, you're Potter anyway. You'll be Potter anyway. Hachov will be Alma. So Mashra from here, if I need a special heter for Mila, the Torah is coming to tell me that Hachov will be Alma, another Chavalah, which would not be Mila, if I decide to cut off your ear, then I would be, in fact, Chaya. Why? I'm just being Chovel. So Mamela must be that there's something unique about Chavalah. And furthermore, there's another thing. The Torah asserted the Beit Din to act on Shabbat. Chomosh Votechet. That means that if somebody is Chayav Mita, then the appearance of the halacha is in terms of Bat Kohen. So if the Torah asserted Havara, Rabbi Bat Kohen, where over there you have to heat the lead in order to be Sorefer. So you're not allowed to light Tilat HaEver on Shabbat. So apparently, I mean, even though I'm killing somebody, I'm just being the Kalka. So apparently, Shmamina, that a normal Mavir under these circumstances, would be Chayav. So Mavir Biyam Chayav. Tosfos says that, gosh, we'll talk about that. So this is rather striking, because then according to Rabbi Yehuda, should have to check now his whole approach. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no excuse for this circuit. Since according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no problem, because anyway, I can easily view it as mitakein, because it's a blockchain trade of the gufa. So why should think to himself, if I don't need it to do that, I must be wrong about the fact that I say blockchain trade of the gufa is higher. Apparently, I relaxed my standards too much for malacha, because otherwise, why would the Torah have to tell me a halacha that a mekalkel and these two things would be considered to be chayiv anyway? This is a mekalkel. What's the limit over here? What's it teaching me? Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi, I'll tell you very simple what it's teaching me. It's teaching me that such an act of tikkun, in fact, would be metaken. That's it needs to tell me that I'm allowed to do it even though I'm being over real chilul Shabbat. Because what are you saying? You're saying Mila is chovel v'yom. I understand. if you now shave off a piece that's sticking out of a bowl, was improperly formed, you cut off the piece on Shabbos, you're imatakin a kli. You're telling me you wouldn't be chayav for tikkun a kli because you're destroying the piece? Or you're telling me, look at the kli, what's the object of the melacha? The object is the piece that I cut off of the kli, and the object of the melacha is the kli. The way to be metakein the kli is by cutting off this piece. That's exactly how to have a look at mila. You have an improperly formed human being who now requires proper formation. The fact that I'm taking off something doesn't mean that the object is not the human body. The object is the human body. Therefore, k'dam ravashi, mali da takein mila, mali la takein kli. Explain to me what the difference is. I have an improperly formed organ that I'm making look nice. I have a kli that's improperly formed that I'm making look nice. The object is not the piece that I'm cutting off. Of course, the piece that I'm cutting off is chavala bi'alma, obviously. But why should I look at that as the malacha? You simply improperly define the object of the malacha, in which case it has nothing to do with the issue of mitakein on the kakel. It's by definition a mitakein. And if that's the case, do I not need a pasuk to tell me it's muta to be mitakein on Shabbat? What does this have to do with Shabbos and Gufa? And when it comes to the case of Havara, you're telling me that the Beit Din is not allowed to go ahead and to be Mavir for the Bat Kohen. In other words, you're telling me that a Mavir is awesome. That's what you're telling me. Well, of course a Mavir is awesome. You know, because Mali Litaken, Mali Lebashel Petila, Mali Lebashel Samanin. Would you have the same ideas? Again, you were focusing on this entirely wrong. You're now going ahead now and cooking the samanim for the Mishkan. That was the fundamental case where I need my dye stuff. The Mishkan was full of all of these dyeing malachas, right? So now I'm going ahead and I'm going to cook the dye stuff. And if I'm going to cook the ptila, what's the difference between cooking the ptila and cooking the dye stuffs in the Mishkan? Therefore, obviously, the only reason that the Torah is telling me over here is to tell me that afal pikin, Bezdin, even though I was told to be Makai in this mitzvah, the Torah is ossering it on Shabbos, in which case I have no problems being, well, like this, I would think I should be Derech Shabbos, because after all, this is the Chiyuv on Bezdin, and so on and so forth, that I shouldn't. That's all. But it's not, it certainly has nothing to do with the Mekalkel. There's no Mekalkel over here at all. So this just points out that we should not think that the meaning over here is a little bit, levashel ptila is a little bit misleading. Because levashel ptila, the implications of the Gemara are that what we're saying is that if you're cooking metal, you're basically being mitakein the metal in terms of its tempering and so on and so forth, in the same way that you would be mekalkel, mitakein legabi cooking up dye stuff. But that doesn't make sense, this does. Because if that's the point, what do you do about the other mitot beitim? In other words, it can't be that the focus is over here particularly on the question of the dye stuffs, or if you had it from before. So you had it cooked up from before. So then you're going to say, okay, so then it would be okay. Because my only problem is the actual tikkun of the ptila. That doesn't make sense. If it's only because of the tikkun ptila, so then fine, so do the tikkun ptila before. We darshan from Moshe Rotechet. There's a whole complex drasha that the Gemara makes. It has to be referring that this is not on Shabbat. No, also not. Which is what Tosis points out. What would one have to do with the other? So in other words, so he says the meaning over here is Mali Bishul Ptila. In other words, the Torah has already expanded the concept of the Bamacha for inclusion in the ultimate Tikkadav, not the Bishul itself. But I'm being Mavashul Samamanim. I don't need the Samamanim. You're telling me what? I'm Mitakein the Samamanim? The chiyuv is because the samamanim are required for the tzviyat ha-beged, not because it's the equivalent of cooking up a porridge. In other words, these samamanim will be usable for tzviyat. And because of that, and since I need tzviyat, that's considered to be a tikkun. So you're telling me the same thing over here. Since I need the tila, why do I need the tila? In order to maintain the mitzvah serefa. Therefore, it's considered to be a tikkun, not because there's a tikkun in the metal per se, any more than there's a tikkun in the tzviyat per se. Okay, so if that's the case, what it's telling you is that the requirement to do something for the tzarech of a mitzvah is considered to be tikkun, which is really the reason why we said before that a korei alamait is a tikkun. Why is it a tikkun? Because it happens to be that it's important for you to be korei, and that's for a different purpose. So that chiddush, Tainus Reb Yudah, is the point of the limud, and it works in beautifully the way I understand the concept of a malacha. Because over here, I certainly would have thought it needs to be a tikkun in terms of the at least the object of the malacha. Over here, it's basically irrelevant. It's all circumstantial. Happens to be there's a mitzvah that I need to be Mekayim. I need to be Mekayim. So it turns out it was Mekayim the mitzvah by being Korei Alameh. Well, certainly you're not going to say that the act of kriya on some level is be'etzem atikon. It's not be'etzem atikon. So you see from here that the tzerech of a mitzvah defines an actual way of defining the circumstance. Even though you'll say, it's not measurable. There's nothing that I do with it. It was simply a question of purpose. That purpose is sufficient to be defined as tikkun. So if that's the case, any elements that are involved in Chilul Shabbat, including the Netilat Neshama, per se, would it be Asur because it's Tzarech HaKiyum of the Mitzvah? In which case, all of the Mitot Beitin would be Asur. It's just an example that we're bringing. If it were actually a Din in Bishul, what would it have to do with Chomek? What would it have to do with Sayef? Absolutely nothing. Oh, there you are, talking about two steps. So we're talking, therefore, about a completely different concept. We're talking about the idea of how it is that a tzorech of something that's basically irrelevant, totally, to my needs or to the purpose of what I'm doing, but because that mitzvah exists, that itself becomes a getter of tikkun. So that's what we see from this Sreipat Kohen. Okay, so according to me, therefore, it's all very consistent. It has been very consistent. It's all assuming the nature of malacha requires that tikkun. It has no problem with that tikkun being exterior to the actual act of the malacha. It never does. It would be the same thing as saying, chofer v'tzarek la'afar. Whereas Rabbi Shimon is startled by this. Because he says, look, I mean, it's all very nice to talk about there are totsa'ot of tikkun, agreed. But those totsa'ot of tikkun are secondary to the act of the malacha. They're just poel yotzei for the malacha. I mean, it should be no different than digging a hole and kneading the dirt. And yet, I'm convinced that that is not the definition of the malacha. How do I explain these tzurkeh? Unless, in fact, the Torah is saying, it doesn't need to have a purpose. In other words, Chabalah is defined as the act of Chabalah. Mavir is defined as the act of Havara. And why would that be true? Would we say to ourselves, that's crazy. I mean, just because it happens to be, these are the two cases. So it happens to be that these are unique cases. Isn't it more reasonable for Rabbi Shimon to get up and take it like a man and say, look, I made a mistake? Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda is right. Why would these cases be different? I must have made some fundamental error. Of course not. It's obvious why he doesn't do that. Because those milachot, which are be'etzem hashchatot, that's what they are. They're acts that are destructive acts in their essence. Clearly, the Torah over there has got to be saying, if it wants to include them in malacha, but generally speaking, it's like, but a malacha is a metakein. So what it's saying is that there are certain acts in which the destruction is total, such as netilat neshama or havara, that defines the creative act. Because such creative acts are very much a part of the entire development of how things end up being metukan in the end. Is it so unlikely that therefore the Torah would view fire as a tikkun? You're going to say, what kind of tikkun? I mean, look at this, you're burning. What are you talking about, man? Most human progress is made out of fire. Evolution proceeds by murder. So what are you going to say? You're going to say, therefore it's a tikkun. It can't be a malacha. That's the definition of progress. You're going to be like these guys who are against nuclear weapons.
Producing energy is a
malacha. It's tikkun. I am a maisitz mekalkel. Right? In terms of the act that I'm doing to an object, it's mekalkel. Okay? That the Torah is expanding now. That then. In other words, I have two ways of looking at it. I can either say I was wrong because the ultimate tzav of a thing must be, in general, part of the malacha, and therefore I should agree with Rabbi Yehuda. And then I would have no problem. I mean, of course, Mila would be awesome because, look, the result is you've got a prettier person. Of course, Ptila is awesome because the result is you're being Makayim Mitzvah. I could say that. But then I also have to think to myself, was it indeed coincidental that Dafke, the two malachot that are in the definition of the Rasiya, always destructive to an object? Dafke, those two malachot, where the Torah has to speak out this halacha? I find that very unlikely. On the contrary, I think that's the whole point, that there are, in general, two sets of malachot. Malachot that are minei ube tikkunim, and the definition of malacha includes the creativity of the act and the object. And then there are two malachot which are central to the whole idea of progress and development, which are be'etzem hashchatot locally, and the Torah is bar with them. That makes more sense to me than to say, let's change the definition of all malachot and include all implications. So that would be two very, very different ways of looking at the specific phenomena of Kabbalah and of Sreifa, of Havar. Yeah.
So it says that you can do Mila, that's to exclude that in other places you can't cause a Havala.
Right.
But then it says that the parallel case should be that you
right.
could kill the
no,
person.
Yeah, but there's different ways that Torah teaches those things. It doesn't have to necessarily say it in the same way. You could kill another, but clearly
so
by
you
saying
can't
you can't, it's obviously saying. So there's some issue that's involved here.
Okay.
Right? Okay, so now we understand what's happening. continues the Mishnah, the shiur, it goes through now all of the various, the Malabein, the Minapes, all the various shiurim, of all the various acts that are pre-Ariga acts, the shiur is either on the original acts, is Rokha Vasita Kaful, and Ha'oreg, which is a much bigger tikkun, and the shiur is Kamalei Hasit, which we saw before would be the minimum width, unless the thing that you're doing is fully built, like the ribbon, where you have a fee of just two rows. How is that? Reb Yosef machvi kaful. Reb Yosef indeed took his forefinger and his index finger, spread them apart, and he said double. Whereas Reb Chiya bar Ami machvi pashut, because what he did is he took his finger and separated it from his thumb, which is exactly twice that distance. We say exactly, obviously, we mean in a system of measurements that uses feet and seats. Okay. So now this was a question of illustration. In being machvei pashut, you're teaching me something, which is confusing people as to what a sit is. I mean, I know what a sit kaful is. What's a sit? If you show me this, I understand. This is a sit. Two of these are sit kaful. Mm-hmm. So there's advantages to kind of the Rabbi Yehuda Rimen, Hatzat Sipor Lemigdal. If you get a bird into your dresser, you slam the door, the drawer on the bird, that bird is caught, and you would be chay. Hatzat Svi Labayin Chayat. And if you would get now a deer and slam the door on him in your house, get into your house, close the door. So now that's considered to be tseida. But less than that, meaning you've captured a thing by putting it in your yard, slam the door on, now it's in your yard, it can run around all around the yard. You wouldn't be chayav on that because it's not caught yet. I mean, it may be a step closer to caught, but you've still got a lot of running through, honey. So that's not called tseida. The chachamim, I mean. See, tor l'migdal, yes, I agree with you. When it comes to a bird, you'd have to get that bird into your dresser. To get that bird into the house is not considered to be seidah. Now, it's not clear at this point what the point is. In other words, is seidah the idea that this animal basically is now stuck? It's stuck, it can't get away from you ultimately. It could keep trying to get away. But you've now confined it in such a way that ultimately it's yours. That's one possibility, but then it really shouldn't matter whether it's in the yard or whether it's in the house or so on. Is the idea that it should be in a position, I mean, if that's the case, then it has to be just, if that would be the case, then it would just be that it can't escape. Okay, if Reb Yehuda says it's not, it's, it can't be sawed in a house, it's not enough to say it just can't escape. I can understand, I would be able to say, let's say the Rabbana, but Svi, Bayit, Dinah, Chatzer, Bivarian, I don't care where you get that Svi. You can get into your house, in which it's really stuck and confined there into your room, but it could also be in your yard, or it could be in a vivarium. Vivarium is like an enclosure for live animals, obviously. So that would be fine. Yeah, vivarium, aquarium. Aquarium would be water life in a container. Vivarium would be a live things in an enclosure. Okay? The same word, basically. So that would also be the same. So what exactly are they saying? What are they arguing about? So I was, we could look at it that maybe... I mean, maybe Rabbi Yehuda, the reason Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim agree about the tzvi in the migdal is because if you put the tzvi in the house, you still, the bird in the migdal, because if you have a bird in the house, it's still not really catchable. But I mean, if that's the case, so then if they both agree, it has to be mamish catchable and right there to get it. So what about, why not in the house? Why is the house, you know, for the tzvi but not the yard? Why don't you agree about the yard too? The Chachamim should also say, if I need the bird in a migdal, then I need the tzvi in a small enclosure, which is the equivalent of the migdal for the bird. There must be some other issue over here. So you could say, okay, a bird in a house, the issue is not because it's going to require work to catch, because if that's the issue, then I should say the same thing about a tzvi in the yard. Maybe the point is because the bird can escape. It'll find an open window somewhere, find a crack somewhere, and maybe that's the issue. In which case, the tzvi's not going to get out. But then, I mean, if that would be the case, then if I had a covered yard, then I could actually be chayav for getting a bird into a covered yard. If I covered vivarium, and I get the bird in there, I mean, it may be just as hard for me to catch it there as it is in an open field. But it's caught, because it's surrounded by my walls, essentially. I mean, would they be willing to go that far? Yeah, you can see that we're raising issues over here. Is it the fact that the animal is cowed?
Yes.
Cowed? Excuse the pun, but it's for all intents and purposes. It's just another cow over here, right? I understand that my own cow, I'm not trying to say the on for take. It's mine already. I have that type of connection to it, in which it needs so badly. Even if it's outdoors and it's trying to run away, I'm not trying to say that if I get my cow back. If I got my dog who's trying to run away, it's not Seda for my catching my dog. Oh, no, absolutely not. But that's called nitzod v'omet. So that means that there is an element of a psychological aspect to tzeda. Something that is not in my rishos. Once it's put into my rishos, so it's mine. Maybe that's the idea. But then again, I mean, so why dafka me though? For the tzipor?
Somebody else's cow if you...
No, it's only a cow to him. I mean, there's another issue, as we'll see later on, which is this the type of animal that would escape? If it doesn't escape, if it doesn't object to being taken, then it's not Shaykh Seda on it. It's very interesting. Shlomo Zalman brings a raya that the tzav cannot be a turtle. Because the Gemara talks about the chiyuv of tzeda on the tzav, as we'll see. And the turtle doesn't really make much of an effort to get away. So how can it
be a slow getaway?
I understand, but there's nothing you can do for all that purpose.
Okay,
it's
confining a pet to a particular place.
No.
Not at all.
No.
In any context.
No.
What about the difference between two dimensions and three dimensions?
You mean if you've got a two-dimensional cow?
No.
Not very filling.
It's a bird. You mentioned to escape it. Well, I mean, like, a tree, just in that enclosure.
But yeah, but again, the issue is, so what does that mean? That it's harder? It's harder to catch? Is that it? The functionality of how difficult it is?
Yeah, not just harder.
Yeah, okay. So again, that's what we have to consider. I'm just raising the issues. Those are the things we have to consider. At this point, it may well be, as Rashi says in his spiritual Mishnah, and this is common for Rashi to do. So Rashash asks, why did Rashi say that it can escape through the windows? That's what Rashi explains the reason. It's that support. If it wouldn't be in a migdal, it could escape through the window if you put it into the house. It's clear in the Gemara, in the end, that that's not the issue. But the reason that Rashi puts it in is because of what Rashi always does in the Mishnah. He leaves open the possibilities in the Mishnah to include the various elements of the Gemara to take into consideration. And then allows the Gemara to basically isolate the issues that are important to us. So it will turn out in the end, it doesn't matter if there's open windows or not. But perhaps that's part of the question. Because maybe once it would be fully enclosed, it would be having a bird as well. Sorry? What? That I just said?
Yes.
Rashi often says in the Mishnah an approach which only is to aim the Havamin in the Gemara. And the reason he does that, because as in the Farish, that's what you need to do to leave the Mishnah open for the Gemara's understanding. I certainly don't want you to think, when I give you a Pirush, which is why it's very misleading to read Rashi's Pirush on the Mishnah. I don't want you to think this is the Pirush on the Mishnah. It's a possible Pirush on the Mishnah, which therefore we have to see whether it holds after you ask from other Mishnayos, or you ask from what appear to be contradictions from within the Mishnah.
As opposed to the Pirush of the Rambam, which is there for the Mishnah having taken over.
Correct. The Pirush of the Rambam is not of a Mishnah in the context of the Gemara. Specifically not. The whole point of the Pirush on the Mishnah. In fact, there's no one else within the Farish Mishnayos that way as Rashi does. Mm-hmm. As part of it, here's what the Gemara would have said. So that, as a matter of fact, you'll find very often Perushim of the Rishonim that contradict the Gemara. Because they're not interested in the Gemara's approach to the Mishnah. You want to read the Mishnah. This is a nice way to understand the Mishnah. The fact is the Gemara's docha this and makes it very complex because of a kasha that wants it to come out, the Fiyaman the Omar that we already passed and whatever. You know, so why is it over here, stomach Rabbi Shimon over there? I don't need to explain that to you in the context of a Mishnah. That's a Gemara asking a Mishnah on a Mishnah. But the Mishnah is meant to include the possibilities that I'm telling you through. So I'll tell you what the Mishnah means kipshut. You find that very often. This drives people crazy. What? Why is it being the Farish Mishnah can have the Gemara? It's the same thing that the Eben Ezra will do on a Pasuk. They'll totally ignore the Gemara on the Pasuk. Right? And he'll be the Farish Pasuk in ways that is completely antithetical to the Gemara. And he'll tell you why the Gemara is Pshat and all this. But of course, the Pasuk is meant to stand kipshut. I'm going to tell you what it means. You want to go look in the Gemara and figure out how it is that the force of the, you know, what can you do? You have to be Meniach HaKrav, Uk Mehadukhe, and so on. It's too bad. You know, because this is how we know we need to see it in terms of the Lamais of Tershabapa's application. That doesn't mean that's the meaning of the Pasuk. Yes, you often have this type of thing. It's really not even a kasha within Father's Direct Kasha. It's not an issue. Of course the Gemara had to take that into consideration. We'll see that Rashi adds a great deal in saying that. We wouldn't have recognized that we're including the possibility of the birds escape through the window of the house. The Gemara makes no sense. We'll see in a moment. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel on that. Lo kol ha-bivarim shavim. Look, not every vivarium is the same. I mean, you're saying a vivarium. You've got cheapo vivariums that you buy at the Walmart. And then you've got vivariums, you know, that are like really serious vivariums. I mean, it depends how the thing is constructed. I mean, so Zaklal. Look, let me just tell it to you as it is. It's very simple. Instead of analyzing sizes, money, or whatever, the bottom line is, our issue is this a thing that is not really nitzod? I still have to work on catching it. You have to work on catching it. It's not caught. And therefore, what you did so far is not the malach of tzedah. You don't have to work on catching it. Chain of mechusar tzedah, chayav. Now, of course, we'll need to explain that. And we'll need to see whether Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is arguing on the Tanakhama. or is he explaining the Tanakhama? Because it really depends on, we don't really understand the Tanakhama yet. We don't understand how, on the one hand, the bird has to be in a little cage, whereas a tzvi can be in a vivarium that may be just as much larger than the tzvi, than the cages, than the bird. And for the bird it's okay, but for the tzvi, I mean, it's very common. So it's possible that they're not arguing, but maybe this represents another shita that holds that the only issue is whether it's nitzot. Maybe there's other elements. So let's see. It's not hard. If you take a look in the Gemara in Bitzah, the Mishnah over there says, Ein sadim dagim minad bivarium biyomta. If you have an aquarium, you're not allowed to take fish out of that aquarium, and you're not allowed to feed your fish on yomta. Einotim v'ein mizonot. Now, it's not quite clear why you are not allowed to feed fish. There's a lot of different approaches. Rashi says that in... Because, or Shabbos, I mean, you're saying why Yontif also? Because so Rashi says the klal is that anything that is mukta, you can't be toreach for. The other Rishonim have a very difficult time with this, because animals that you keep are mukta, and you certainly can be toreach for. You're supposed to feed them. Some suggest maybe the idea is that fish seem to manage just fine. If you don't, they're always finding these little protozoa or whatever. I mean, you don't see what they're eating, but believe me, there ain't stocking in there. So therefore, it's not considered to be mizonoteim alecha, because they manage. How do you know that? I mean, how do you know that that's true about fish, but not true about animals that could wander around and maybe find something to eat in the ground or whatever? I mean, it's just Ashur of Yalma.
All you have to do is ask.
I find it very difficult.
He's had fish for a pet. The problem is
always
feeding them too much.
Yeah, okay. You're fine. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you don't have to feed them at some level.
I'm saying so
on that level. Okay. Lamaisa, Tosfos learns that it's a function of tzeda. Anything which is nitzot, which is really nitzot v'omid, so that it's already yours, as if you're holding it, fine, and there's not a problem. Something which is not yet nitzot, we're worried. It can't be considered to be mizonoteim alecha. Therefore, because it's not yours yet. You've never succeeded in capturing this thing yet. And if it isn't nitzot, how could it be mizonoteim alecha? Therefore, you're just basically being toreach on something that's none of your business to be toreach on. So until you've established that connection, you can't now go ahead and feed it. Now, but what's interesting is that, let's say you would have birds. You keep birds. Many people kept, you know, columbarium, I think they're called. They keep columbarium. To keep doves and, you know, pigeons and so on. But these birds could fly away at any time if they wanted to. You know, but it's the old babe on the farm story. You know, they don't suspect what you really got in mind. You know, this nice, kind human. They don't fly away. They let you calmly come pick them up and eat them. You know? So that's nitzot already. If they're there, then they're already nitzot. You know, obviously, I mean, that means that certainly you have a very strong psychological component, so to speak, in the element of nitzot. This bird is not attempting to escape me. It's not attempting to escape me. It's as if it's mine, because it lives in my yard, even though the yard isn't covered, and so on. So again, we see clearly that there's more to seda than just the question of whether it's physically constrained. That bird is not physically constrained.
And part of having that bird is the fact that it knows
it counts on food? No, it could be. I mean, over there it's considered to be. Okay. All right. So, the shayla is like this, says the Gemara. There it says that you can be tzad, avot tzadim chayav of from a vivarium, and you can be not nimut lehem mizonot. So what does that mean? That means that if it's in a vivarium, it's considered already to be nitzot. V'raminu. Bivarium shel chayot v'shel ofot v'shel dagim. Ein tzadim behem biyomtov v'ein notnim lifneihem mizonot. So we have a real contradiction, at least in two elements. In the chayav oath, it says, and in the first case it says tzadim, and in the second case it says ein tzadim. Okay, dagim is not a contradiction, but chayot are a contradiction. Ofot are a contradiction. So kasha chaya chaya kasha ofot ofot. Now chaya chaya, I don't have a problem, because I could say lo kasha haradiyot of a rabbanan. I know that there exists a machlokes. We just read it. According to the rabbanan, once you get a tzvi into a vivarium, you're chaya. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, only if you get the tzvi into the bayit are you chaya. Okay, so by the same token, if the tzvi is in a vivarium, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not nitzot, therefore ain't tzadim. According to the rabbanan, it was already nitzot before, and therefore there's no problem in taking it. I don't have a problem with that. I already saw the mission. Not that I necessarily understand it yet, but at least I know that there are such two shitot. But ofot, that is a problem. because Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan both agreed in the Mishnah that the definition of tzeda for ofot is not to get them into a vivarium. It's to get them into a migdal, which is your dresser. It's a lot smaller than a vivarium. How do you explain that? Kasha. Maybe you'll say that actually is not a problem, because the case in which Rabbon and Rabbi Yehuda agree that the oath needs to be inside of your dresser, and it would not be sufficient to get the oath even into your house, and or certainly not a vivarium. Ah, maybe it's talking about over here where it says it's nitzad. It's talking about a biver mikurah. It's talking about where the vivarium is covered on top with a net. So therefore, even a bird would be caught in such a vivarium. Now we understand why Rashi had to say the thing about the windows, because otherwise we should have said to ourselves, okay, wait a second, a house has a roof. How could the Gemara think, if it wasn't enough to get the bird into the house, how could the Gemara think that a covered vivarium is better than a house? What was the Gemara's having in it? Therefore, Rashi's required in the Mishnah, a house has windows. The point of a vivarium is that it's made not to escape from. A house isn't made not to escape from, so getting a bird into a house doesn't mean anything. But getting a bird into a covered vivarium would mean everything. So clearly there had to be that possibility in the Mishnah, or we never would have entertained this nonsense. So obviously Rashi had to explain that in the Mishnah. And if he hadn't, you'd be sitting here scratching your head at this point. Saying, what? And how could you read that into the Mishnah? And this is the fairish contrasting the Migdal with the Bayit. And you're telling me beaver. What good is a beaver? The most you could turn a beaver into is a house. That's the best possible beaver. And I thought we weren't ready to assist. So must be that the issue is how easy it is to catch the bird within the house. The Koshikane, it's more difficult to catch a bird even in a covered beaver than in a house. Comes along Rashi to say, maybe the Gemara held at this point that the difficulty in catching it is not the issue, but rather it's the possibility of escape that's the issue. So in a house that's not meant for trapping, there's always little places to escape from. Maybe you didn't even notice the bird got out through the chimney. How did you think about that? You didn't think about that. Okay, so therefore, it's actually beneath so. But when you make a vivarium, you're careful not to allow places for the bird to go out. So you would be fired.
Purposes specifically do not have a place.
Exactly. So that would make perfectly good sense. It's wonderful that we had Rashi to be mafarish that for us in the mission. Okay, so now maybe that's the pshat. Habi viver mikorah, v'habi viver she'en eno mikorah. So ask the Gemara, now let me ask you something. If the point is bichlal mikorah or not, why couldn't we have explained the bayit in the same way? You told me a bayit, as if a bayit by definition can't be caught. Why is a bayit by definition can't be caught? Why can't we say that bayit, which is mikorah, and bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, bein l'Rabbanan, tzipor only can be in a migdal, but in a bayit, it can't be. So doesn't that mean that the issue that we have to take into consideration is how small the area is, rather than how it's particularly constructed? Because you could have told me the difference between a house that has the windows closed, a house that has the windows open. Talk to me about a small enclosure. That's how you want to tell me this halacha. Doesn't that prove to you that it's a function of the size of the enclosure and the ease that I have to grab the thing that it needs of? It's got to be. So what good is it talking about a beaver makora, a beaver shena makora? You're taking for granted that I could talk about beaver that way, talk about pious in that way. I'll tell you, must be that there's another issue. Omar Rabba Barahuna, it depends on the bird. That's the issue. There are some birds which will accept the fact that once they are in a house, once they're in any type of enclosed area, that they basically are at that moment tamed. They don't fight you. So if you have a pigeon that finds itself in a bayit, it's tamed. But there are tzipor drawer, by definition, the word drawer. And we use drawer in exactly the same way. Drawer is liberty. The American Liberty Bell. It's called liberty because it has on the pasuk, cross and drawer. The Gemara says a very fascinating thing about the nature of drawer. What is the word drawer? The word drawer means that it can live wherever it wants. Dar, dar. Wants to live here, to live there. Wants to live here, to live there. It's the fundamental part of the idea of American freedom, which is almost the most fundamental part. You go wherever you want and you settle wherever you want. When you're communism, you needed a special heter yitzya to move to go from Moscow to go visit your mother who's living in a suburb. So the idea, therefore, of a tzipor drawer is that it is psychologically unmoved by the fact that it has cover over its head, or that you've succeeded in trapping it in an area. It will continue to fight to the bitter end, and wherever you try to get it, it'll fly somewhere else. Because it is not going to accept maluds. That's the point.
Free as a bird.
Free as a bird, exactly.
So the dresser drawer is
a dresser drawer allows you to grab it. That's the point. So, halkab a tzipor drawer askina, lefisha ena mekabelet marut. There is a concept in Seda which is called marut. oftentimes, you actually see this in animals. When they are caught, they stop struggling. Why do they stop struggling? Why don't you keep fighting? You don't keep fighting because there's an acceptance of the fact that something stronger than me is being shown on me. And simply stop fighting it. Once you do that, and that's a very important part of horse training as well, is to get it to accept Marut. Once it'll accept Marut.
Breaking the horse.
Exactly. So normally, part of Tzeda is breaking, what we called before cowing was a pun. But you put the animal into a position in which it's accepted the fact that it's not worth fighting. A zebra drawer does not accept that, ever, until you actually have it. So therefore, if you're talking about a tzipor drawer, it's like, you know, our mission, it says, a tzipor drawer is only caught when it's in the drawer, is talking about that type of thing. That's not makaba marut. Mashenken, when you're talking about a vivarium that's considered to be a trap for a tzipor, it's only a trap, a psychological trap. It's not a trap in the sense that it's trapped because you've got it. You've got it because psychologically you've got it. So it now is the equivalent of a pigeon in your personal dovecot type of house. The Tanya Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Lama Nigra Shmat Tzipor Drawer. The reason that it's called a Tzipor Drawer is because of the way that it lives. It's Mipnei Shadara Kebayit Kibisadeh. It makes no difference to this bird if it's outdoors and feels that it's got the whole wide world in front of it, or if it's in a house. So you say, what do you mean? What, is it stupid? No, there's always options. I can live in that corner, or I can live in that corner. So my options may be extremely reduced. There's still options. And still I'm in the guy's hand, there's still options. So for such a bird, unless you're in a migdal, you're not trapped. Says the Gemara, you know, the truth is, now that you've pointed out that when it comes to the tzipor, we don't have to make it dependent on the makhlukas of Yudim or Rabban, right? The first answer about explaining the difference between chaya and chaya, we said must be dependent on the makhlukas of Yudim and Rabban. This doesn't have to be dependent on that makhlukas either, because we could say that chaya chaya nani lo kasha. If we're willing to change what bird we're talking about, why can't we be willing to change what viver we're talking about? And we could say that haba viver gadol, haba viver katan. Maybe even the Rabbanan agreed to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's statement. We saw in the end of the Mishnah, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, lo kol habivarin shavin. Maybe he's not arguing with that statement. Maybe he's just explaining with that statement. Maybe the Chachamim also agree that there's no defined object named vivarium that's going to define Tzeda. It depends on the reality. If it's too large, then it still requires Tzeda. If it's small enough, it's not mechutzer tzeda, and therefore the tzeda has been achieved. And therefore that may be the explanation. The two brides, they don't contradict each other in any way. They're talking about different kind of birds. They're talking about different kind of vivarium. Very simple. So what defines hechidami biver gadol, hechidami biver katan? How would such a thing be defined? Omer Ravashi, kohecha the right batre. Umatile b'chad shichaya biver katan. If all you need to do is crouch one and do a running jump at this thing one time and you can catch it, then it's caught. That's a biver katan. In other words, no matter where it is, you're close enough to give one run and grab it. Then that's a biver katan. Either anything else is a biver gadol, and it's not considered to be nitzav. Even according to the Rabbanan who claimed that you would be chayiv in a vivarium. Inami, or there may be another explanation. There may be an explanation that indeed the difference between biver gadol and biver katan is indeed psychological. It may be a function of marut. At what point does an animal feel trapped? And at that point that it feels trapped, it will no longer struggle. In which case we can define it as kol hecha d'nofel tula diktolim ahadodi, is biver katan, where the shadow of the walls fall on each other so that it doesn't feel it ever gets a chance to get away. It's not in the wide open. That's called a biver katan. The idach biver gadol. Now, Tosfos learns that this is not an alternative. In other words, it does this thing for granted. It's not that Gemara is going to give now another definition of the concept of trapping. Once we're willing to say it depends on the size of the biver, it's a function of catching, not psychological entrapment. And therefore, he says there must have been a standard height to walls that we're using here as a definition. I mean, otherwise, this doesn't mean anything. But if we can talk about a whole different approach, which is psychological entrapment, which Gemara just raised in terms of Kabbalat Marut, then it may well be that means exactly what it's saying. If the animal never feels that it's out of range of these walls, then basically it gives up and it's Mekalba Marut. Inami, there may be another explanation. Kalecha de leka upsi, upsi, biver katan. And again, this can also be approached in two ways. Upsi, upsi means if there's no corners, there's no place to hide. If there's no place to hide, it's a biver katan. So you could say, okay, that's good, it's got nowhere to run to. or you could say it's because it recognizes as an order run to. Both shatim still would apply. The Eidach, if it's got a place in which it can make a little place for itself in a corner and so on, then it may still feel free enough to be the equivalent of a tzipor drawer and to be a bergadol, and it was not Makabah Moros. Again, you can learn it that way, you can learn, because it's more difficult to run and catch it if it has a place to stick, in the, stick itself in.
Very.
Yeah, all animals do. Turtles are in Bonet's neighborhood. Do you have my turtles?
No, the Geldmans have our turtles.
So to whom did I give my turtles? Oh, to Steve. What happened to those turtles?
I
didn't already
have.
No, I had a
there were turtles on the roof?
Yeah, they just appear on, they appear on your roof.
I'm saying this controls them in this point.
Oh, that's what you mean? That it could be, it could be, ah, I see, I'm sorry, I didn't realize the implications of it. That seems to fit into the second aspect. Okay, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, note, in order, before we begin the next sugya, note that we just were willing to say that the Tanakhama agrees with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Because we wanted to make an afkamina between a biva katan and a biva goro. But that's what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was doing. So apparently, we have no problem saying Rav Shimon ben Gamliel agrees, that the Tanakhama agrees with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, right? Says the Gemara, Amr of Yosef, Amr of Yehuda, Amr of Shmuel. Halakhah Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, if you say halakhah Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, you're assuming that the Tanakhama argues on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Oh my Abaya, what's this halakha jazz? Halakha Michal, the plea, what are you saying? That they're arguing? I mean, we were just willing to accept that there's not even a mouth locus here. You're already running around posking halakha. Oh my way, so what do you care? Why not for the Chamina? So if they don't argue, so for sure halakha is like Rosh Hashanah. Ah, see? So I mean, you can't go wrong. You say halakha Rosh Hashanah. Either they don't even argue, which gets 100% halakha is like Rosh Hashanah. I'm telling you, they do argue halakha is like Rosh Hashanah. And you're complaining? Says Abaya, you're darn right I'm complaining. Gemara Gomer Zmuruta Tehei. Are we interested here in singing songs, or are we interested in understanding? It's all very nice to say, well, you don't like my lines. It's beautiful lines. You can't complain about it. I love the Kerushim and Ben Gamliel. Go ahead, tell me that's wrong. You know, if you were doing a vaudeville act, it would be fine, but that's not the business that we're in over here. You're supposed to be telling me something that's rational. If you use the word halacha kid, then you're telling me there's a problem in determining what halacha is like. Anybody who's listening to you understands that means I can't be mefarish the Mishnah in a way that would allow the Tanakhama to hold back Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And all you're doing is just, well, I didn't mean anything. I was just carrying on my vaudeville act. I don't understand what you mean. My nafka lo chamina. It's this totally wild shot. At least he says, if I wouldn't be embarrassed, I would say this. But it's another one of the reasons why a lot of people don't like to use the Tiferet Yisrael. This is like one of his most famous wild shutting, in which he says, the Pshat Gemara Gomer's Muluta Tihei clearly implies, he says this in the Pirsham Shnayas, obviously, that actually every Mishnah had a song, right? And this was a way in which you could memorize a Mishnah. Because when you knew the song, it's a great way to remember. It's like everybody remembers the words of all Broadway, you know, musicals. Because it's a song, exactly.
Each mission had its own music.
Each mission had its own music. So therefore, Tana's expresses its role. Maybe sometimes a Tana would say something in a way that would fit the music. And that would explain why you would have Kisuri Makasar away over here. In this case, it appears to be repetitious. Because so, you need to fit the words. Anyway, so
he
used, the music would define the Mishnah. Because otherwise you'd be messing up the rhythm. So he says, that's the chat. Gemara Gomer's Murut today. What do you think? We're just fitting it into the vaudeville lines here? Is this part of the song? No, this has got to be a Gemara. It's not a Mishnah. It's very cute. There were a few pieces of the Tiferet Yisrael that caused a lot of people to be very upset with him. That was one of them. The other one was his famous story of the handwriting and phrenology check of Moshe Rabbeinu, where she says over a story that they sent a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu to his experts, his psychological experts in phrenology. No, he brings the story. He's like so they said, this is the biggest Rosh in the world. So they came back and said, that's right. That's the godless of Moshe, that he was born as the biggest Rosh in the world and that he worked on himself and he became the biggest man. Because obviously this is good. People don't like him. This is like, Kitovu, like, how is it Kitovu? It's Malik Alabai Skulaira, et cetera, et cetera. Also, it's right. That was another reason. And the third reason was the Psak in the Aruch HaShulchan that social standards define our rights. In which case, it was Matir saying when you're out on the street in which nobody covers their hair anymore, that it wouldn't be an issue to say Kriyat Shema inside of it, because otherwise, I mean, it's certain things that are defined as erva are because they're normally not exposed. If they are exposed, then it doesn't become an erva. That is also for a certain dinner.
So
leave the fire shaking hands.
No. He's not saying that. He's saying in terms of the terms of question, which like a healer and so on and so forth. It's something matir has a problem. He's saying vis-a-vis the halachas that are not a healer. That's not considered to be fine. I mean, perfectly reasonable fact. But the Hasidim certainly didn't like that fact. So that cut out yet another. You know, the yeshiva like didn't like the songs of the Mishnah, and the Hasidim didn't like the fact that the Yorek Hashofer. So that knocked out a lot of the audience. You know. You had to be careful even in those days. And then, when his son came up with the book, My Uncle the Netziv, and I had to recall it because it mentioned that the Netziv actually read the newspaper, that did it in completely. The whole family was no good. That's the third meme already. Okay. Chaval. Okay, continues the Gemara. Anyway, so Gemara Gomor is Murutat, eh? If there's no reason to say that there was a machloket, then you don't pass in a tzad. Tana Rabban, hatzad tzvi, sumar v'yashen. If you have a tzvi that is blind or asleep, you're saying, okay, so what am I doing? I'm creeping up on him, he doesn't even know that I'm there. And then I put the net over him, but he was already nitzo because he wasn't moving. No, you're still tired. Hashem king, if it was chiger, the zakein, the foleh, if it was, however, lame, so couldn't run away, or it was too old to move, or it was sick, it would be potter. I'm not bad, Rav Yosef. Explain to me the difference. Maishnahani. What's the difference between them? Hani avidil rabuya, hani lo avidil rabuya. I mean, apparently they're not communists. But the one where he's just asleep, he can suddenly pop up as soon as he senses that somebody's coming, or he feels you're trying to put a net over him, he'll pop up and run away. Mashenki and the others, not. If that's the case, I mean, okay. And that's a good explanation. But
there's,
what's that? Rabuya, to, you know, make himself more movable. Rova, moves around. That's fine. Problem is, how do you explain the fact that the Brisa says, Vatanya chole chaya? Here you said chole is patur. Here it says chole is chaya. What's the difference? On Rav Sheshes, exactly. That's the difference. Or Kasha. Hava chole machmat ishta. See, that he's sick because he has a virus of some kind. He's running a high fever. So he's lethargic. He's sitting over there. Good. Believe me, no matter how lethargic he is, when you try to grab him, he runs. Masha inkein, hava chole machmat ufzma. If he's chole in a way that he's simply, he's dehydrated, exhausted, can't move. He can't bestir himself, he can't bestir himself to move. He's too sick to move, basically. That's his sickness. Is that. He can't run away. Over there, he'd be potter because he's already needs him. Tana Rabbanan, atzat chagavim. Chagavim are edible. Gazin, a type of edible chagav. Or sirin v'yitushin, or wasps, or mosquitoes on Shabbos. You're still chai, of divrei Rabbi Meir. But Chacham Imamrim, no. Only those things like the chagav, yes, the gazim, yes. Who catches wasps? No point. The most you can say, people might set up a trap to prevent the wasp from getting them. You certainly don't trap wasps in order to have the wasps. So only a mean that's nitzod would be chayav. But kosher in the mino nitzod, if that is not the norm, that there should be a tzeda, then it lacks in the definition of the malacha of tzeda. So that the malach of tzeda does not consist of keeping something which normally freely moves in a box. That's not what tzeda means. Tzeda means allowing something which has in it a function that is used by humans to be yours. That's a completely different thing. And therefore, there is no tzeda on such things. This is a fundamental machlok, Rabbi Meir never for me. Tanya Irach, Hatzat Chagavim Bishat Hatal Patur. It's an interesting braisa that says, if you grab Chagavim while it's damp outside, they basically cannot escape. Yeah.
The Levi's book has a piece on that, and it says they show that they become blind actually.
Right, amazing.
In the morning.
So it's unbelievable. The Rashi says when the dew falls, they go blind.
They prove that because of the receptors of their eyes have so many facets that
if there's any damp on it, they can't see anything.
Blind, yeah, because of the eyes, the structure of their eyes.
So they're mitzavrot. They're mitzavrot. They can't run away. They're blind, they don't see you coming, and therefore you can catch them. But if it's b'sha'at hashrav, where everything is dry, then you're chayav. Elazar ben Mahavai omer, imayu mekalchot va'ot patur. If you have swarming locusts, then catching them is patur, because they basically fly into things. They're not escaping, they're not attempting to go anywhere particular, they're just swarming. If they're swarming, you just take up a bag and you close the bag over them. So memela, that's called mitzot. Iboyot. Elazar ben Ahavai, areshekoy or asefekoy? Is he saying when they're blind and swarming? That's the point? Or is he saying even when they're not blind, that you'd say you're chayav, if they're swarming, you'd be potter? So you might be Makbir, you might be Mekalim. Tashma, we have a raya from the Braita. Atzad chagavim b'sha'at atal patur b'sha'at ashrav chayav, says the Braita. Elazar ben Mahavai omer afilu b'sha'at ashrav. So obviously it's been Mekal. Even b'sha'at ashrav, where normally they would be escaping. Imayu mekalchotu va'ot patur. If they're swarming, you're patur. There was great shots of these ties in the Negev. When we recently, this year, there was the swarming locusts in the Negev. And it was amazing to watch. They just held open these bags, these big, gigantic, garbage bags. Just held them open, and pulled them up and closed them. So they would catch hundreds of these locusts. And they were a real treat. They would eat them. So, yeah, it's a great lunch. Yeah, the things that you use on top of the bag when it's filled. Those little metal pieces. It's called tight. How about if it walks into the house all on its own? This sweet. And then you close the door. You close the door. Na'al obviously doesn't mean walk. But we use it. Milatadel simply means closing a door in the Gemara. You're chayav. But if two people swing the door closed, then you're potter, because this is a standard. How about if lo yachol echad linol v'nol shnayim? If the door consists of two pieces, or you need both of you to close it at one time, or it's a very heavy door. And then two closing would be chayav. That's according to the sheet that we saw before. Zeino yachol, zeino yachol. Whereas Rabbi Shimon potters even zeino yachol, zeino yachol. Like he learned from the pasuk earlier. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Shmuel. Hatzad ari b'shabbat. I mean, forget about the fact that Tzvi is in the house. You could even have the ari in a net. He ain't trapped. So you would not be chayav until you get him in his cage. Don't take anything for granted. So eno chayav achiyach niseno legurziki shavu. You got to get him in that little cage where he can't escape. But at this point he's just playing along, waiting for the right minute. All right, we'll leave the Mishnah for tomorrow. It's got to be that it's Tzorech. So Chovel b'Tzorech l'Kalbal, Mavir b'Tzorech l'Efra, in which case it's not Mekalbal. What was Rabbi Abu thinking? Anantan kolam kalkulim b'turim, period. That's not a problem. That's Yisrael Yehuda. Right, the Rabbi Shimon. My time, the Rabbi Shimon. Yitzrif kolam yishrim mila. Mashmah that a chovel be on this chayah. Then Yosraf man ha-havor agavi bat kohen. So in other words, Mavir would be chayah. Rabbi Yehuda. Hatan etakenu kirvashi dom revashi. Mali etaken mila. Mali etaken kli. Mali levashop tila. Mali levashop samanim. Shiur ha-malabim. Rabbi Yosef Machle Kaful, Rabbi Barada, Barami Machle Pashut, twice. So each one was, they weren't highlighted, they were just in Machle different. Rabbi Yudom had sat Sipor Migdal, Vitri Labayit Chayab. Sipor Migdal, that's true. But Sri could be Labayit, Ladina, Lachatzer, Labivarian. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yomi Yolomer, Loka Labivarian Shad. Zakla, Mechusar Tzeda Batur, Shino Mechusar Tzeda Chayab. Sanatam Ein Sadim Dagim in Abivarian Yomtel, Vein Lotin Vitriyan Bizonot. Aval tzadim chaya ba'of, and odim v'zim mizonot. On the other hand, Raminu, bivarion shel chayot v'shel ofot v'shel dagim, ein tzadim meyem b'yom tov, ein odim v'yem mizonot, kasher chaya chaya kasher ofot ha'ofot. So be shleim chaya chaya alone, I wouldn't have seen it as a problem. It's already a rabban. And ofot ha'ofot, anyway, we're going to have to figure out a solution to kasher. V'chit yem ofot ha'ofot na'am elo kasher, ha'be biver mikora, ha'be biver she'ena mikora, bayit is mikora, and nonetheless, Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Rabbanan, Tzipor Lamidolim, the Bayit Lo. Omer Rabba Baravona, Asa, Bitzipor Dror Askin. If you should, Enam, the Kabbalah to Marut, the Tanit, the Rabbi Shmo, Lama Nikra Shmo, Tzipor Dror, Vibne Shadara, the Bayit, Kibasadeh. So if that's the case, let's go back now to Chaya Achaya. So Hashla, that Tita Lahachi, Chaya Achaya Namilo Kasha, we could say, we could vary the case, like we did for the Tzipor. Hope it be very Gadol, Hope it be very Katan. Echidami biver gadol, echidami biver katan. Omer Vashkol Eched, Eloi Batrei Umati Libichat Shichaya. It's called a biver katan. Anything else is called a biver gadol. Inami, Kol Eched, enough for Tula Diktol Amadad is called a biver katan. Anything else is a biver gadol. Inami is biver. Kol Eched, Eloi Uksi, Uksi, biver katan. Biver, biver, biver gadol. Yes, yes. I got like the money. Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel, Omer. Omer Reb Yosef, Omer Reb Yonah Mishmol, Aloch, Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel. I'm like, what do you mean halacha? Halacha be called a plegay. I'm like, my nakilachamina. I'm like, Gemara Gomez, Murutatei. Tanarabana. Hatzatz wie Suma wie Hashem. Chayav. Chiger zogin vilkole, patur. Amalei abayel am Yosef, ashrani, ashrani. He goes, hani abil rubli, hani lo abil rubli. I got hani chole chayav. On Ripshesh is okay. She'o becholei makmat ishta, or becholei makmat gutzima. Tonu rabbanan atzat chayav im ragazim. Or even sirin v'yetushim v'shabat. Chayav. Tivri neyev. Chachamim omrim, kol shebimino nitzot chayav. Shoshin v'mino nitzot patur. Tani ila atzat chagamim v'shat atal patur. V'shat ashrat chayav. Elazar b'mahava yomir. Ima yom hekalkot uva'ot patur. Iboilu elazar b'mahava reishiko yasifiko. Tashmat zahat chagamim v'shat atal patur v'shat ashrat chayav. Elazar b'mahava yomir atfilo v'shat ashrat. Ima yom hekalkot uva'ot patur. See, she nichnas l'bayit b'na alecha b'fanam chayav. Na lo shnayim p'turim lo yuchol echad l'nol v'mino lo shnayim chayav v'pshin l'pater. On b'gim v'baram on Shmuel. But when it comes to an Ari, atzar Ari b'shabat ino chayav, ad sheyach nisano l'gurziki shemot. I like that word, gurziki.